Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs. Plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All righty, are we live? Yes, we are. Welcome to the Color Up Podcast, where this one's all about all things DiceCon. What's DiceCon? Well, we're going to show you right now, and we're going to tell you some great stories about some great happenings all around Las Vegas, and we'll throw some news in there, too.
Welcome to the Color Up Podcast. Whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner eager to step up to the table, this is your lucky podcast that's all about the thrill and strategy of the casino world. I'm your host, Jeremy. With me is Jim the Professor. Let's get rolling.
All right, Jim, this is a very big day.
It is.
It's your birthday.
It is my birthday.
So yes. Happy birthday, sir.
Hey, thank you so much. It's been great. I've had a wonderful birthday. It's been very nice and had a great day. Got up, went to church, and then we went out and what did we do? Nothing. Okay. Stayed at home. I watched soccer and watched a couple good games, and then wife made me, Bonnie Boo made me a wonderful dinner. Thank you, Boo. And then I get a chance to come over here and hang out with you for a little while. So it's been a perfect birthday.
There you go. What'd you eat for dinner? What's your?
I had some wonderful salmon. We had salmon, peas, and potatoes. So it's SPP kind of dinner, and I loved it.
Yeah, my mom always used to make us a lasagna for our birthday, so that was always like a... That was the birthday meal. I haven't had it in many years, but haven't been home on my birthday for many years also. But DiceCon, this was a big week for me, for the club, for...
Yeah, it was an awesome week. It was your third one in the books.
Third annual.
And we had the first two, I guess, around Father's Day weekend. And then this year was the weekend after Father's Day, or the Monday after Monday week, I guess, after Father's Day. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. So I was thinking, you know, maybe you should talk a little bit about, before we get to the DiceCon, maybe, you know, when did you start the club, and was DiceCon part of your vision when you started the club, or just kind of take us from the beginning on that one?
Well, it certainly wasn't. Initial thought was like, hey, let's have DiceCon. And let me be straight, DiceCon, you know, everything's con, which is short for convention. It's not really a convention. It's a glorified meetup. But we needed a fancy name for it. So DiceCon it is, right? And so when I started the club is really, hey, let me get dice players together as a community as best we can. So essentially it's a club of dice players online. It exists for the most part online. We have a community online. People can chat, discuss, and all that. But obviously it's missing a little bit of a human connection there, right? And playing dice happens out in the real world in casino as much as we have fun with fantasy craps or whatever. So it was, you know, I know you have a little group. People would get together, or they would say, hey, we went to such and such and we met up with a couple people. So I knew that I would be able to basically, if I picked a date and time and put my hand up and said, hey, everyone meet here, there would be a great opportunity for a lot of members to join together. So that's essentially all it is. Was the first year is, hey, if I announce a date and time, there's a good chance, you know, if it works with other people's calendars, that they can make it. And instead of meeting with three or four club members, we might be able to meet with more and maybe a lot more. So it just was kind of a, you know, because I knew I had the reach and can announce it and get it across to a lot of people, that I did it. And so that first year, it's been about the same every year. Between 80 and 100 people each year come out. And, you know, there's a, now it seems like there's a good core of, I don't know, 40 or 50. And then the other, you know, are people that are new or whatever. But, yeah, it's been really cool to see. And it's just a fun opportunity. We're starting to get to know people, because it's a little tricky because everyone's got a YouTube name. They got a Discord name. They got an online name. They've got a Twitter name, Facebook name, and they got a real name.
Which, and some people don't want their real name.
And some people, I don't even know their real name. They're in a club. They just use an alias or whatever. So as DiceCon goes on, you get to know, you get to know a person, right? Because you spend in, you know, 10 minutes at a time here, and then the opening event, and then the closing event, and then maybe at the table you play with them for an hour. So you kind of get to know people, and I think people have started developing like friendships, and which is amazing. And then they're starting to, hey, we'll see you next year. And they're already making plans, and it's been a really cool thing. At this point, it's just been a once a year opportunity. Obviously, I'd love to, you know, move it to different parts of the country and just offer more opportunities of, you know, just getting people together, really. But yeah, that's DiceCon in a nutshell. Just, it's a meetup of Dice fans from the Color Up Club. And yeah, every year we get a good kick out of getting to know each other. So.
Oh yeah. I think it's a hoot. I think it's a great thing. And I think as far as the history goes, I think you had a couple of, we would have some meetups from time to time. I know I met my first Color Up Club meetup was with the gentleman from Virginia, and we met up and went up to MGM Grand. And there was four of us, I think, that day who met up, and we, our friendship is awesome and grown through the years on that. And all those guys have been to Dice Cons, although everybody hasn't been every year. But that was kind of a neat thing. And then my second big meetup was when I went out to Blackhawk before you guys got out of there. And I met a bunch more of the guys. And,
I forgot about that
gals
one. Yeah.
At that one. Yeah. And then I had another one. It was a little mini one. And this was after, I think, DiceCon. Yeah, this was after the first DiceCon. So maybe after the first one, I met with Demon Dog Chris and a few of the, I think, Top Hat I met out there, and Whistle. I think it was four of us that day. So I met a lot of the guys. I missed the Pacific Northwest meetup that John with Pro Craps had. And but anyway, it's nice to be around good people around the table, and the positive energy that comes from it, and people that really love the game and have a good time playing it. I tell you that I never once played with any of the Color Up people who were angry anywhere. So definitely didn't miss that one. Oh,
John
Sandy comment up there.
Yeah, Pro Crap said he said to have missed it. So I think this is, he went to the first 2 years, and
year,
I believe he was, he had a move, he moving homes, but he was just busy, but yeah.
Oh yeah, we had a great time. I think it was last year or the year before, we went up with this on the last day. We went, and you were in there too. We went up with the big high roller thing around the big giant Ferris wheel on that night, and I found out you weren't a big fan of the heights.
No, I used to actually be a roofer for a short period of time, but heights is not my thing. I guess I don't know if it's mental or whatever, but my legs get a little wobbly. Like, so it's like when I get towards the edge of something, or my family gets to the edge of something, I become all wobbly. I don't know. I guess that's a fear of heights. I'm certainly not like, I love roller coasters. So, I mean, I don't know how that translates, but yeah, if I'm, if I can see, and it's a weird, it's like a vertical, I don't know. It's like a physical reaction though. Yeah. So not my favorite thing to do is be involved with heights, but we've done a couple different things throughout the years of DiceCon. It's kind of evolved a little bit. I've certainly spent some time trying to make a bunch of little planned events and do different things. And Jim, I found out those don't go over so well. People okay. want to, they want to play dice or they want to do their own thing, it seems like, which is fine. And I love it. So we've kind of more or less evolved into now it's almost like meet up, you know, eat, play dice, and then have, you know, give opportunities for free time. I didn't get a lot of reserve tables throughout towns this year just because everyone I'm calling is like, we're having problems staffing dice dealers, unfortunately. So it's still kind of left over from a couple years ago. And then we have a nice closing dinner and everyone gets together and share stories and stuff again. But for the most part, I just try to make it open. People can have free time. And, you know, it just evolves because people already know each other. They do different things or, hey, we're heading over to this casino. And it kind of is working that way. So okay. It's not like a, you know, event after event after event. It's a lot of free time to that people, guess what? They tend to gamble if and then, but you don't have to. I know this year there was a big group that rented multiple cabanas next to each other. And so one of the days was like a pool day. So
yeah, I was a part of that okay. one and yeah, jumped in and on that hi. One. Yeah, that was over at the Nugget and that mm-hmm. was my first time staying downtown. And I've always been kind of a little bit of a hotel snob.
Yeah, we talked about this before stuff. You went. You're yeah. yeah, a little bougie. And I had to do some arm twisting. I said, why don't you try something else out? I don't think that you'll get shot.
Right, right.
It's
right.
not, you know, there is
security. It's not the Wild West.
No, I mean, there's certainly some wild things going on. So maybe we speak to that a little bit of what was your experience.
Overall going from you're normally, yeah.
you know, you like a nice hotel, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my first night was, oh, by the way, it says, I can hear Jim, but he can't hear Jeremy. Somebody just jumped up on the comments. I don't know. If anybody else is hearing that, let us know too. Could be yeah. whatever. But the first
we're
night
gonna
I stayed
there for a moment because part of it is I have got a little thing in my throat. You could probably tell if you're used to hearing my voice. But
oh, yeah. And they know your voice. They know, yeah. your voice. They know you're like Barry White tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are liking it. I said, why doesn't he do, oh, this is Jeremy from Color.
why don't we do that more? yeah. So tell me anyway, what it's so like going
my,
from
my experience. So going
so
from
where you
my,
normally stay versus
so normally I stay
it
on the strip.
Us.
Yeah, I stay on the strip. I stay Park MGM. You know, I've stayed Luxor. I stayed MGM.
Although
properties.
Luxor is not.
You're right.
I would say the downtown casinos compete with
Luxor. You don't like
Luxor? Luxor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's lost a little bit of the pyramids. Lost a little bit of its shine last time I was there. But we stayed there. We stayed MGM Grand. So we stay in nice places down there. And I went the first night. I was not downtown. I stayed over at Ellis Island because that's where we had the big, what do you call that thing? Opening event. So we had a pregame. Yeah. So I stayed there the first night. And luckily, I got a free room because of my previous year's play over there. And then the second night, a lot of people were staying at the Nugget. Very few people were staying on the strip. There was a group over at Sahara, I guess. But anyway, so I checked in the Golden Nugget and I finally get into my room that night and I open up the drawers. I'm, you know, like getting ready to put some stuff away and there's other people's clothes in there.
Yeah.
And there's bags in there and I should have texted you the picture or whatever, and you could have put it up on the screen. It's just kind of an icky feeling.
Yeah, almost a little violating, right? To know
violating, that. Especially coming in with this whole downtown thing. But actually, I was pleasantly surprised at all of the places down there that I went to. Now, the tower that I was in was an older tower. It was, you know, several stories high. I forget. I think I was on like the 18th or 19th, 21st floor or something. And the other hotel I stayed at, the D, I was on the 31st floor. So it's really nice. I would say on the quality of like a Marriott, although this one's a little bit older type of thing. But I was facing away from Fremont, so I didn't have the noise the first three nights I was downtown. And then the last two nights I was at the D, and I was facing kind of catty corner to Fremont Street. So I was on the street that kind of cuts through over there where the, what do you call that thing? The, what's the thing where you go skydiving down, not skydiving.
Zipline.
Ziplining down Fremont. My hotel room faced that from the 31st floor. So I got a lot of noise and stuff from you know, the room that night, but it settled down around, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. It was
you were up many nights at 3 o'clock. I was a party animal.
Just high on life, Jeremy. No drinking or anything else.
I don't think I made it past midnight on any of the nights, honestly.
Yeah, I just had a good time, and it's fun to go down there and people watch and all that kind of stuff. But the downtown thing, I was telling Bonnie Boo that I think it's nice to visit downtown and then bounce to safety, go back to the back to the nice hotels. But no, I was pleasantly surprised. And let me tell you, because in my mind, walking down Fremont Street with that cover and all, it was bearable, where if you walk outside on the strip, it's not. But I was pleasantly surprised. All the hotels that I went into were a lot nicer than what I expected. So yeah. I was pleasantly surprised on that, especially the D had been redone. They had this wonderful tiled shower with this super fountainhead on it.
And did you make it into the Circus? So that's the newest.
Yeah, I did not. I wasn't. They would only offer me 2 days, and I wanted 3 days at the hotel. I wanted to be at the same hotel for 3 days because that's where everybody was at the pool. And so I didn't stay. Circa only offered me 1 day, and they said I couldn't stay on Friday night. That's what it was, because last two nights I needed was Thursday and Friday. And they said I'm not cool enough to be there on Friday, because I guess Friday night's their high demand night.
Sure.
So I didn't stay there. So I've never stayed there, but I did most of my plane over at Circa and their sister partner company, one of the three, along with the D and Golden Gate. So I'm sure I worked up some good comps over there.
What'd you think about the casino though?
Of the D or
Circa?
Oh, I love Circa's casino. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much comparable to anything you'd find on the strip for the most part.
And I think it's a lot louder and busier.
It certainly is loud. They love the music. They're a hip and trendy place. So.
Yes,
they're trying to be.
Got the girl dancers dancing. All
dancing girls on a lot of the places. Yes.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the reason I kind of kept it down there is because it's one thing to be on the strip and say, hey, we're all gonna go head over to the casino across the street, right? And it takes you a 30-minute walk, or you know what I mean? It's
like,
oh, it looks like it's right there, but it's literally like 2 miles of walking because the casinos are so big and it takes so long to get there and over the crosswalk. But
downtown, the minimums are higher.
Yeah, the minimums are double, right? And downtown, literally, it's truly walkable. You can walk from one casino to the next, to the next, to the next, in just minutes. So that's what I liked about it. And if you do that, I was able to just go from casino to casino and bump into more DiceCon people. All of us either had swag or our lanyard or a shirt or whatever. So we kind of were recognizing each other, and you could just find them by just, oh, I'll just go check out this casino. And hey, there's a couple guys here or gals playing. And that's what made it nice. So,
yeah, I thought that was another cool thing about us, everybody wearing the lanyards, was a couple times, like at Circa, we had a couple of our members went up and approached the management guy saying, hey, look, you know, if we fill up 16 people, will you drop your minimum to 10? Mm-hmm. And they say, yeah, we'll do a $10. And they gave us a private table a couple, three times. Yeah. I think they did that.
Yeah. So shout out to Pouncer for that.
Yeah. Big shout out. Pouncer, well done, Pouncer.
And it's usually all it takes is, you know, just ask. And sometimes they say no, but I mean, that it did make it easier. Like, oh, wow, there's a whole group here. Private table, lower to $10, no problem. Yep. So, and that's what another thing great about downtown is, in the mornings, I played every day at Downtown Grand, which was a $5 table. I know some people were playing at the Plaza for $5. And then for most of the time, you can get a $10 game down there. Whereas the Strip, you know, you're looking at
minimum 15 in the morning.
It's 15, and then they go
25 to 25 and go up from there
in the evening. So that was a big plus.
And then how about some of the other fun stuff as far as little activities? I want to say this to you. We had a lot of people from different groups. Color Up Club is pretty big. We've got people from, you know, a lot of different communities. You know, might have had some people from Hawaiian Craps people, and SJ, I got a chance to shoot at the table with him a little bit, and some of these other guys who, are involved in a lot of different things. And some of the other guys had their own YouTube channels and stuff. And that was really cool. I had a chance to play with a few of them. I think one of them, I saw a comment a little bit ago, was a Random Roller 6-8. And, I got a chance to hang out with him, and we played, and with a bunch of other guys, and it was just absolutely a blast getting to know all these people all over the place.
Yeah, we have a couple from Canada. I was going to say like Canadian, a couple from Canada, but I mean Virginia, Chicago, quite a contingent from Texas. We had some from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We had, just all over.
New
obviously,
York.
There was a good group. Yeah, there was a good group from California, because that's easy trip for them. So, but yeah, there was, for the most part, everyone is kind of long, you know, been in the club and kind of knows the culture. There are a couple that obviously are new. They're a little, you know, a little different, or they come from different kind of packs, or they had they had locals with them playing, which is fine. But yeah, it's a little mix of everyone. But overall, so, I mean, I don't know what all we, I guess there's a lot we can talk about it, but I don't know.
Let's talk about some of the
questions. We can open up to questions and that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, but don't forget, we also have some of the stuff that we recognize people for every year. What is every strategy? Almost every strategy. What are they looking for? They want the what?
The long roll.
Yeah.
So every year, we do give away medals every year. I give away second and third place, you know, the gold, bronze, and whatever. And this year we had top three. Do you remember the counts?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was
48,
45, and then maybe 38.
Yeah,
SJ,
like
he's in here.
How long did you have?
He came in second.
He was second.
Okay.
The IceCon was an absolute blast. 47, 45, and 38 were the rolls.
That's what I remember.
Yep. Okay.
Something like
so
that.
Nailed it. All right. So, it's got the same thing.
Oh, SJ says 46, 45, 38.
40, okay.
So we're in there. We're in the ballpark.
We're in the ballpark over there.
Yeah, so there were some good rolls.
Of the three, I think the top two were influencers.
Yep.
And then the third place.
So I said it proves, right? The first, it proved it, right? Dice influence was the way to
get. I know. I can't do it, Jeremy.
Although the year before, I think two out of the top three were randos like me. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it should be all three, right? It should have been the top 10 were all Dice Influencers. But
I want to say this, Jeremy. We had at least two club members who rolled the ATS during DiceCon, one of them being moi on there. And I actually
had
five.
So what was your technique?
Five.
Do you set the 3-2-2?
No, there was no there's no technique. I would try to get them out of my hand as quickly as possible before the magnets would activate on them, or the superchargers. I was told that some of the casinos are now using more laser beam technology. You can't see them. They just flash to hit the dice on there.
Okay.
More like practice shooter.
You admit it's pure luck.
Practice shooter.
I love how it's just says that. Practice shooter.
I bet you practices a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they're not claiming to be, you know, I don't know what they claim. Different groups do claim different things. So, but the most part, people say we're just trying to, you know, get a little bit of an edge. And I don't, you know, of course, we don't know about that, but the best of luck to them. But they did finish in the top two. So the practice shooters did well.
Shout out to them. Man.
Yeah. Well
if
done.
If you were
well
lucky
done.
Enough to be it. Now, I will say this, Jeremy. I never rolled above. I did not do well this.
Usually I have a monster roll. I never did. I mean, I don't know if I hit 15.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeremy. When you were counting, did you have other Color Up Club members at your table?
Yeah, I never played by myself, if that's what you mean.
So I played with 15 other club members at the table.
Okay.
With probably another 20 or 30 around the table. And, you know, not one Color Up member was counting when I went on this monster roll.
Well, of course not, because we didn't think you'd get past eight.
So. Right, because I'm an average random shooter, I guess. So
at that point, once you forget, you're like, oh, geez, this guy's been rolling it 15, 20 times. Yeah, so you did have a big roll, but sadly.
And Anza had one, too. She just needed the, I think Midnight was one of them. So it's funny. I'm all teasing. Go ahead.
Yeah, my rule for DiceCon is for one, it's still an honor system, right? We can't whatever, but I do require it to be witnessed by two other club members, and you can't just say, "Well, I think he's at 10 now, and so let's start with 11." No. You got to count from the beginning, and it's got to be two club members. So. It kind of, for one, I try to force club members to play together. And then two, hopefully there's not three of them that are together lying about this, sadly, for a dumb medal. But, I mean, bragging rights a little bit too. So, it works out and it's always fun, but yeah, that kind of the numbers, that's probably, you know, in the 40s, we usually finish the top three or in the 40s. So there's certainly big roles that happen. I was down. I will tell you right now, I finished down.
I'm sorry.
$400 less than I took.
Okay.
So it was bad timing for me. And I started joking. It's probably, I should speak a little better about it, but I would joke that, you know, I'd go through eight shooters and it would just be poor. And, you know, $30, $40 a shooter after eight or so shooters, you're like, ugh. So I'd go, you know what, guys, I'm going to step away from the table, let you guys have a good chance. And then that, you know, every time
that's
20, 25, 26, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd get talked in, hey, jump back in the table. And then we'd have a slump. So I just had really bad timing, unfortunately. And a little bit of that is confirmation bias. But for the most part, I would have to joke about it because I go, okay, I'm stepping away just so you guys can have some good roles. And sure enough, it would happen. So,
I sacrificed
for the club. I did what I could.
Well, we appreciate you. It's a heck of a feeling when you're on the table. I was on the table three times over the days that I was there. Steeler Mike hit the ATS.
Okay.
I was not on when he did. I hit it when I was on. And then Friday, I did. I was playing Friday afternoon before I left on early Saturday morning. I was playing with Blakey and her husband, Jason. And I don't think Jason was there yet. I was just playing with Blakey.
Jason hit it at the very first, like pre-DiceCon.
Yeah, he was at the pre one. And I ended, and I think so. Actually, but was I on the table when he hit it? I think I might have been.
I think you
were. I forgot about that pregame.
Because it was a rough table.
So I got four, I think. I was on the table for four of them. And the only one that I was on the ATS with was on mine. And I still made money on all the rolls, but it just, when you're on there, it's kind of like bingo money, you know, and it's fun for everybody to do it and throw it out. So it's, you know, that could be another show topic, would be maybe the bonus bets at all the different casinos and things and which ones people like and all that might be a fun.
It's hard because we were involved in it, but I guess from an outsider's perspective listening, I don't know what they would want to hear about, but is there something that we haven't talked about or covered that, you think that would be interesting to the listener?
As far as DiceCon, no, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's a multi-day event. We do a lot of playing of dice, obviously, in other games. Other people bounce around, a lot of eating. And it's like a vacation for most people, right? They put it on their calendar.
Yeah, and do some fun stuff during the day. And it's organic. I think that was the word
it
people
is,
use.
It is a club member event. So it's a little tricky because if I open it up to the complete public... what I mean by that is my YouTube audience. For one, like if I have two reserve tables and I say, hey, you know, even if you're talking about a 1% showed up, the numbers are just too big.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
We would get overrun. So I do keep it to club members. And for part of that is we develop relationships online and kind of know each other and make plans. And, we really are a club. So that's what I like about it. So if you are interested in coming to a future DiceCon, become a club member. And part of being a club member is there's a culture, I guess, for lack of a better word, that kind of evolves around it. So there were a couple, you know, people this year that I would say don't really, didn't really maybe buy into the culture as much. Like, I think they skipped the final meetup because they just didn't care to join us. For our final dinner and get together and prizes and fun. They were just kind of doing their own thing. And that's going to happen when you hit a certain number, right? So that's fine. But for the most part, most of us are there just to have a good time. We respect the game. We respect the dealers. And we enjoy each other's company and playing with each other. So that's what it's about. And so if you're interested in that and having a community of positive people that have fun playing dice together, the majority of us are all right there and very nice people. So it's fun to just hang out with very nice people. And that, and so the more it is with the bad attitudes kind of weed themselves out. And then the other people that are like kind of having a good time with us, they stick around. So it works out in the long run. You know, and that's what's great about being.
Yeah, I would say you notice the difference immediately from when you go to a reserve table to when you're just general public $5 table downtown Vegas. And I'm not saying the general public is all bad or anything, but there's a lot of people who just they're just not nice people, and they're stressed, and that they're gambling with money that's not it doesn't appear to be entertainment money.
Right.
And they just get very angry, not just angry, but just they're not pleasant and they're not fun to be around.
I mean, there were times, certainly, I mean, we had some great roles, but there were plenty. And like I said, I was every time for me, the table was losing. It just was not, you know, if you're a dark side player, you're probably okay. But most of us were not playing the dark side. And, you know, it was a losing table for large periods of time, but we could still have a good time, enjoy ourselves, try to minimize our losses by betting differently a little bit, but we'd still encourage each other. And and it wasn't like the angry guy or the pissed off person or the, it's just a different culture. So I'll just leave it at that. But
I'll say this, that if I had to go to the restroom or something, I'd leave all my chips there, and I guarantee you my color up members would look out for me. And there's some places I don't even feel safe leaving the casino.
Right. Hey, you forgot your bet. I mean, we all kind of helped each other. I saw multiple times that, you know, the dealer mate, you know, we kind of helped out the dealer and that stuff. And I don't know. 99% amazing.
Yes.
Thing. I love it. I look forward to it next year. I guess we're doing it again next year. Why not?
Yeah, I hope so.
I put out the dates. No, I put out the dates. So if you're interested, again, if you're interested, just join the Color Up Club. The website's above. And yeah, I don't know what else to say about DiceCon 24 is in the books.
Yeah. Put a fork in it. It's done.
It's over. And we look forward to DiceCon 25.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. I know a lot of people really look forward to it. So I'll go ahead and pull up some comments and we'll go ahead and get to those. And if you have any questions, we're here to answer them.
Absolutely. And you want me to start up at the top there?
I don't know that we saw anything specific, but you're more. Okay. Yeah, you can do whatever if you saw some questions. Okay.
And don't forget, Jeremy, we're powered by Sports Grid.
We are powered by Sports Grid.
That's right.
So I got a report back from them that not a full report yet, but one of the channels, because it's on digital television, it's on all these different
platforms.
Yeah, platforms. Yeah. Different TVs, digital things, Roku, Amazon TV, LG, Samsung, they all give different numbers, right? Because they can track their viewership. And so they said they was way exceeding their expectations and it was doing really well. So I'm happy to hear that.
Awesome.
And I don't know. We're going to see. I think they've settled on some time slots. I don't know what they are. They've given me a report. I think it's, I don't even want to guess, but it's like sat. So they run like two episodes a week and then they rerun them at different times. So, I'm on Sports Grid. Go to sportsgrid.com. You can probably find out more information about when I air. But if you're a YouTube viewer, you see the episodes anyway. It's essentially, I edited them a little bit for timing purposes. They got to fit a 26 minute window and then they go out on TV, but it's kind of fun to be on TV, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
But they say it's doing well. So we'll see how that works out.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.